They set out across the fields wrapped in their blankets, carrying only the pistol and a bottle of water. The field had been turned a last time, and there were stalks of stubble sticking out of the ground, and the faint trace of the disk was still visible from east to west. It had rained recently, and the earth was soft underfoot, and he kept his eye on the ground, and before long he stopped and picked up an arrowhead. He spat on it and wiped away the dirt on the seam of his trousers and gave it to the boy. It was white quartz, perfect as the day it was made. "There are more," he said. "Watch the ground, you'll see." He found two more, gray flint. Then he found a coin or a button, deep crust of verdigris. He chipped at it with the nail of his thumb. It was a coin. He took out his knife and worked and chiseled at the coin with care. The lettering was in Spanish. He started to call to the boy where he trudged on ahead, and then he looked about at the gray country and the gray sky, and he dropped the coin and hurried on to catch up. They stood in front of the house, looking at it. There was a gravel drive that curved away to the south, a brick loggia, double stairs that swept up to the columned portico. At the rear of the house, a brick dependency that may once have been a kitchen. Beyond that, a log cabin. He started up the stairs, but the boy pulled at his sleeve.
"Can we wait a while?"
"Okay, but it's getting dark."
"I know."
"Okay." They sat on the steps and looked out over the country. "There's no one here," the man said.
"Okay."
"Are you still scared?"
"Yes."
"We're okay."
"Okay."
They went up the stairs to the broad brick-floored porch. The door was painted black, and it was propped open with a cinder block, dried leaves and weeds blown behind it. The boy clutched his hand.
"Why is the door open, Papa?"
"It just is. It's probably been open for years. Maybe the last people propped it open to carry their things out."
"Maybe we should wait till tomorrow."
"Come on. We'll take a quick look before it gets too dark. If we secure the area, then maybe we can have a fire."
"But we won't stay in the house, will we?"
"We don't have to stay in the house."
"Okay."
"Let's have a drink of water."
"Okay."
He took the bottle from the side pocket of his parka and screwed off the top and watched the boy drink. Then he took a drink himself and put the cap back on and took the boy's hand, and they entered the darkened hall. High ceiling, an imported chandelier. At the landing on the stairs was a tall Palladian window, and the faintest shape of it headlong on the stairwell wall in the day's last light.
"We don't have to go upstairs, do we?"
the boy whispered. "No. Maybe tomorrow."
"After we've secured the area?"
"Yes."
"Okay."
They entered the drawing room, the shape of a carpet beneath the silty ash. Furniture shrouded in sheeting, pale squares on the walls where paintings once had hung. In the room on the other side of the foyer stood a grand piano, their own shapes sectioned in the thin and watered glass of the window. They stood listening. They wandered through the rooms like skeptical house buyers. They stood looking out through the tall windows at the darkening land.